Okay, y'all, and as I was just saying to a family that was visiting with us for the first time, your kids are welcome to sit in the service during this time, or if they would prefer, they're invited, if they're K through fifth, to go out to that time of kids worship, and they'll come back if you can go retrieve them in the ark after the sermon. Let me pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we pray that you would please come, and during this time that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that you would be the one that speaks to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would turn to Psalm 95 in your own Bible or in the Bibles that were in the chairs as you came in, I recognize those of you who worship here regularly, you're like, do we really have to have the Bibles in the chairs every week? I just want you to know, the reason we do that, among others, is that when someone's visiting with us, anyone else grew up in a church, heaven forbid, where the Bibles were there, but they were unused and dusty? We don't want to be that church, and I don't believe that we are, but we just want to encourage those who are visiting, hey, this is a place where we believe the word of the Lord stands forever, as we were just reading about. So that's why we do that. Now, I realize that at least, again, a couple of y'all are here for the first time this morning, and if that's you should know that we just finished a 9 a.m. series last week called Summer Stories. So every Sunday during this time, that during the school year we call our core class time at 9 a.m., we had different members of this church family, one member every week, a man or a woman, and people of all ages, sharing what was effectively a mixture of biography and what some Christians call testimony. So talking about their experience of becoming a Christian, maybe sharing about what life has been like since becoming a Christian. And I just want to ask, if you had the opportunity to sit in on one of these this summer or to listen to one, to a recording of one, would you raise your hand? Okay, a good number of you. Y'all, weren't these awesome? These were awesome. I want you to know, I've gotten more positive feedback on this series that we had this summer than anything else that we've experienced since I've been here at St. Peter's. Now, it would be appropriate then to ask the question, why is that the case that we had such positive feedback? And it seems like one reason is that if you listen to any of them, you know the people that were willing to share during this time, they were really vulnerable, weren't they? I mean, they were a lot more vulnerable than most of us, I think, are used to people being. One of the ways that they were open was by sharing about ways that they had experienced suffering, okay? Different ways that they had suffered, ways that they had been impacted by things like addiction, divorce. We had a couple people share about losing a young parent, people talking about joblessness, challenges trying to get pregnant, trying to start a family. We could add a lot more to that. People did not hold back in this series. So they were real, but they were also really hopeful. You know that if you listen to these, people talked about being freed from addiction, okay, experiencing forgiveness, persevering through their doubts, or being carried by the prayers of others through their doubts, healing. And people talked about situations where they had been overwhelmed by the love of God and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to ask, by the way, if we were able to record some of them, we didn't record all of them because some of them were so vulnerable, we thought it might not be appropriate, but we do have some of them. And if you're a member here and you would like to listen to those, just email Sabrina, our administrator. Her info is in the bulletin, and she can make sure you have access to them. We didn't want to broadcast them all over the internet. We wanted to honor people's confidentiality, but for those that we have, they were comfortable with us sharing. Here's the most important thing about these. Hey, for those of you who were able to listen to one, was there not a single one that when it was over, you didn't say to yourself, I want what that person's got. I want what they've got. Or I think I've experienced what that person's had and I want more of it. Was there not a single one where we didn't ask that question of ourselves. And in light of that, as the school year kicks off and as we enter into the fall together, one question that it would seem appropriate for us to ask ourselves as a church family is, if it would be nice to have what these people were talking about, how do I get it? Or again, if we've already experienced it, how do I get more of it? Now the answer to that comes from the psalm that we were reading from earlier this morning. And it's this in the words of the psalmist: come, let us worship. Come, y'all, let's worship together. Or verse 6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So if you were with us during the summer, you know that we were in a series in the Psalms, and the Psalms are very straightforward. It reminds us, for the people of God, if we want all that which God has made available to his people, okay, things like his peace, his joy, his wisdom, his grace, the only way to get those things is by going to the source of those things, God himself, coming to him together, worshiping him together. Again, oh, come, let us bow down. Let's worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Now, you look at that invitation in verse 6. I think it's faithful to say that there are two ways that we could apply that verse to us as a church family. So one way that we can apply it is by using it exclusively the way that it's being used here in this, as this is talking to the people of God, to the Israelites. And in a sense, this is what we do here at St. Peter's in this particular body of God's people, people that have been set aside by God by being given the gift of faith in Jesus Christ, raised from the dead for the forgiveness of sins and experiencing new life in him now and obviously forever. So y'all, we do life together here. And in the things that we do together here, there is a way in which as we do them, we are saying to one another, isn't it true? Come y'all, look at God. Look at how great he is. Look at how amazing he is. Look at what he's done through his son. So come, let's worship him together. The question we want to ask for just the next couple minutes is this: as we enter into this new year together, as we press into the fall, how are we going to do that here at St. Peter's? How are we going to do it? One way that we're going to do it, you could say, is by continuing to do things that we've already been doing. So we're going to keep doing the things that we do during this service. Come singing to God, okay? Singing together, praying together, reading scripture together, studying scripture together, coming to the Lord's table together. We're going to do it through other opportunities that are available on a Sunday morning, including at the 9 a.m., like kids' discipleship, like the core classes that are happening at the same time. We're going to keep doing it through the things that have been going on during the week, through the prayer meetings that take place for men and women, for the Bible studies. We're going to keep doing it through that work with our teenagers, those in 6th through 12th at the Well on Sunday nights, and the discipleship groups that we started last year that are kicking off in a couple weeks. We're going to keep doing it through the small groups that we launched last year and that are kicking off the week of Labor Day. And I'll be sharing more about that during announcements. And it's worth pointing out, as we continue to do those things, we're going to be continuing to draw from the great gifts that is this thing, the Anglican tradition. We're going to do that, not because we think as Anglicans that we're better than any other Christians. We just think this tradition has so many resources available to us to helping us orient our lives around the person of Jesus. And speaking of which, let me just make a plug. Raise your hand if you were at the class on the 39 articles this morning. Okay, yeah, we're gonna need a bigger boat, aren't we? In the words of Jaws. Kids, I'll explain what Jaws is after the service. If you weren't able to join us for that, y'all, get involved. And I can guarantee you next week, we're going to have more chairs. We had planned for more people. We added extra chairs, and then we ran out of those chairs. So we're going to work on that. Okay, obviously, through classes like that, through our Anglican worship, or through this service, or if you haven't done it before, try doing the daily office. Okay, these rhythms of prayer that we have out of the Book of Common Prayer. In fact, those words from Psalm 95, if you're doing the daily office, you're reading these every day. Come. Looking at the day ahead, let's worship. And if you're not a reader, maybe you're a listener. Maybe you're someone that prefers to listen to podcasts or while you drive or while you're brushing your teeth or whatever. If you want to do that, you can listen to Andrew's podcast, his Daily Office podcast, which is linked on our website. Here's the thing, though. As we draw on these great gifts from our tradition, remember, the ultimate purpose of our liturgy, the ultimate purpose of the articles and of the prayer book is to draw us into true, faithful, biblically sound worship of the one true God. Amen? That's why we do it. So one way that we're going to continue to invite one another to come and worship this year is by continuing to do these things that we've already been doing. But second, another way that we're going to invite each other is by starting to do some new things that we're just getting off the ground in the next couple weeks. So a new men's Bible study that we're gonna be starting on Thursday mornings with Ricky Brooks. I just started sharing about that last week. Two new women's Bible studies that are going on Tuesdays. So we already have two. We wanted more opportunities for women that need to be able to gather during different times of the day. One that's gonna be going on before the workday on Tuesday mornings with Anna Russell. And then another one that's going to be going on after the workday on Tuesday evenings with Beth Rocker, and for which we'll have childcare available. We're going to do it through those. We're also going to do it by calling one another to serve together so that we as a church family, when it comes to God's resources, as we say regularly, we are rivers. We're not reservoirs. His resources pour through us. And the purpose of a team like this is to help us identify what are ways that we can give of ourselves, not just with money, but with our talents, with time, as it's often said, to the spiritual and the material needs of the people that live in this area. Okay, we're gonna do that. So we've got exciting and new things going on this fall. Let me just say this, though, as I share about those. As we get going, we're not doing these new things because this is a church family that thinks more is necessarily better. Okay, I want you to know, as leaders in the church, one of the things that can happen is that we develop this mentality where we lose any distinction at all between Christian activity and spiritual growth. We're aware of that. We're careful about that. So we don't think that more is necessarily better, but y'all, we think deeper is better. That's the purpose of these things, drawing us deeper into the knowledge of God, deeper into the knowledge of his scriptures, deeper into an awareness of his love, deeper into his purposes that he has for us and the people that he has put around us as we seek to advance his kingdom. So, one way that we're going to be applying verse 6 of this, Psalm 95, together in the coming weeks and months is by doing these things that we've already been doing and by doing some new things, doing them together. It does seem that like there's another way that you could say verse 6 could be applied by us as a church family, and that's not us inviting each other or one another to come and worship together. It's by inviting those that are outside St. Peter's to come and to worship the Lord together. Those who are not already a part of this church. And what I mean by that is not just that we would be pulling Christians from wherever, but specifically, don't we want to be a community that is inviting people to come to new life in Jesus? Okay, whether that's experiencing maybe what you could call an awakening, someone that grew up with a Christian background and yet through their experience, they're coming to see Jesus in a new way, in a way that they've never seen before, through an awakening, or maybe just frankly through new faith, having the gift of faith given to them received for the first time for someone that grew up with no Christian background at all. I mean, remember what Jesus was talking about in the gospel reading that we had read for us from Matthew 9? Do you remember the way that he, speaking to the disciples, characterized the opportunity before them? He said, y'all, there's a harvest. There's a harvest. You gotta pray for laborers. And y'all, there is a harvest around us in the Birmingham area. There are people that are doing life around you, around me, that God's wanting to reach. Or remember the language that Liz read for us from Acts chapter 18. Okay, so Jesus comes to Paul in this vision while Paul's in Corinth. He says this to him in verse 9. Listen carefully. This is very important. Do not be afraid, Paul, but go on speaking. And do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to harm you. So here's the most important part. For I have many in this city who are my people. So the reason that Paul is supposed to feel confident about his ministry and what he's doing is because God is with him. And the reason that God is with him is because he has many people who are his people in that city, and he has chosen in his goodness to use Paul to reach them. That's the point. And when we think about the people that we know, again, that you know, that I know, our friends and neighbors in Birmingham, is there any reason that we wouldn't suspect that there are other people in this place around us that are God's people, that he would say are my people, and I want to use you to reach them? Don't be silent, but go on speaking. And so can we pray for that this year? I mean, think about this, y'all. Can we pray for more baptisms? And y'all, not just baptisms of children, though that is a great thing, but can we pray for even more baptisms of teenagers and adults? Because we are seeing people put their faith in Jesus Christ for the first time. Think about this. Can you imagine what it would be like to be listening to maybe a Summer Stories series 10 years from now in 2033 down the hall in 202? Okay, should Jesus not come back first? Really hoping that happens. But imagine us sitting in there and hearing someone get up and say, look, 10 years ago, I was living in the Birmingham area. I didn't really know who Jesus was. I was raised maybe in the church, but I didn't have a lot of interest in it. But then I met this person from this random church called St. Peter's. It was an Anglican church, and I had no idea what that meant. But that person got to know me. They took interest in me. They listened to my questions. They asked if they could read the Bible with me. They prayed for me. And now, y'all, 10 years later, here I am. I'm a totally different person. And what I've experienced, y'all, I want more of it. Is there any reason we wouldn't want to hear that 10 years from now down in 202? Okay, the only way, y'all, that's going to happen is if we don't do what all of us, including myself, are naturally tempted to do, which is to neglect praying for people and then developing meaningful relationships with people that we suspect might not have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so not doing that, but again, praying for people and then going about our days and spending our time in such a way that when people that might not be Christians look at us, they know that we love them. They might know we don't agree with everything that they believe, but they know that we love them. And through our interactions with them, it's as if we are saying to them, come, y'all, come. Come, let's worship. Let's kneel before the Lord God together. And so, to go back to this question that we were opening with at the beginning, is there anyone, any of us that are here regularly that are members of this church or that are thinking about membership, is there any of us in this church that does not want to experience that in the months ahead or in the next 10 years? Okay, seeing God at work in each other as we draw near him together, seeing God at work in other people as he uses us to reach them. Okay, and if you're at all interested in that, okay, the only way that that's going to happen is with at least two things. One, through your prayers. We need to pray. If you're with us regularly, or if you're on the vestry, you know we quote at times Psalm 127, verse 1, where Solomon says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." We're very aware of that here. It does not matter how much we plan. It doesn't matter how much people give. It doesn't matter how much strategizing we have. Okay, if we are trusting in ourselves, in our own plans above God and trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit, y'all, we may as well pack up and go home. Okay, we're just playing parts in a religious show and providing religious goods and services to be consumed. Remember what Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 5. "For apart from me, you can do nothing." Remember what he's talking about there with the disciples? You got to remain in me. We need to remain in him through prayer. So let's pray. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our vestry. Pray for our clergy. Pray for one another. Okay, and all that we do, that we would worship and bow down before the Lord, trusting in him above all things, being satisfied in him above all things. So we need your prayers and we need your participation. Okay, we need your presence, because these things don't happen without you. You know, as you came in, you obviously saw the calendars that we have out in the seats this morning. Okay, we want to encourage you, take those with you as you leave, take them home, put them somewhere in the house. Or if you want a way more exhaustive calendar, I mean, this is kind of like key dates, way more exhaustive calendar can be found on our website, or if you have our Church Center app, you can just click on the calendar there, and it's got details for everything that's going on, specifically from now through December, with meeting times, locations, et cetera. Now, I'm aware that as I say that, a skeptic could hear that and say, "Oh, interesting, one of the pastors wants me to be involved." Okay, of course you want me to be involved. Okay, you need me. And you know what? I want to say, that's a really fair question. That's true. But here's what I want to say to that. When it comes to the things that we've been talking about earlier, y'all, you don't have to be a part of this church family to experience those things, but you're gonna have to be a part of some church family that is Christ-centered, that is biblically focused. You're gonna have to be a part of that, okay? And that's because that's the way the Bible tells us that God has designed the Christian life. That's just the way that it works. I've joked about this before. Trying to do the Christian life is like trying to say, or tell people that you're a basketball player, and then when they ask you what team you play for, you go, "Well, kind of don't have a team. Kind of doing the basketball thing on my own." Okay? That's ridiculous. You can't say that about basketball. You can't say that about team sports. You cannot dissociate the sport itself from the team that you're designed to do it. You can't say, "Well, I've kind of got my Bible. I've got my live stream that I watch conveniently from home." It is designed, the Christian life, to be undone together. Hey, it says if we really want to get out of the Christian life all that we were made to, okay, if we want to experience the things that God has created us to experience, it says, then the only way that we can do that is by being meaningfully connected to other Christians, most ideally, when possible, as a part of a local expression of the body of Christ known as the local church. It's the only way it happens. And again, if St. Peter's isn't the place where that can happen for you, that's okay. Y'all, there's so many great churches in Birmingham, but you've got to make sure that it's one that is Christ-centered and, again, Bible-focused. Remember that. And not just for our sake when it comes to this participation. It's not just that we need you in the way that the Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, you know, when he's talking about the fact that the body needs every member. Every member needs the body. Nobody else can say, "I don't really need them," or "I don't really need to be present." Now, does that mean if you choose not to participate regularly that you might not be able to be happy as a Christian, or that you might not be able to live a meaningful life as a Christian? No, that's not the case. But here's the thing, y'all. You will always be settling for less than what had been made available to you if you had only gotten involved. You'll always be settling. Okay. And that's not because of anything special about being involved at St. Peter's. Okay, it's about being connected to the one whom St. Peter worships. Okay, Jesus Christ. And so, as we enter in the fall, in these coming weeks, y'all, are you willing to do those things? Are you willing to pray? Are you willing to be present meaningfully amongst us so that 10 years from now, when we're looking back on these summer stories from back in 2023, we can say whether at that point we're 18 or 98, somewhere in between, you know what? I listened to those. I wanted what those speakers were talking about. And because of my connection, y'all, I got it. I got it. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. If you want to be able to say that, then y'all, let's come. Let's worship and bow down before the Lord in the weeks to come. Okay, let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.